In this class, we are talking about people smart skills for ministry. We've looked at such things as listening and making conversations. We've looked at so many different ways to help you become people smart. In this session and the next three sessions, we're going to deal with interviews and how to be people smart if you're looking for a job or a ministry position. I've surveyed lots of material, and I found some material I thought would be helpful to you as students and graduates so that you could go into an interview or whatever situation where an interview is upon you, they could do very well. Now, what I'm going to do while I'm giving this presentation is talk about how some of these principles apply if, let's say, you're applying for a ministry position. First, let's talk about people smart looking for a job or a ministry position, part one. I'm taking a lot of this material in the next three presentations from Mary Greenwood's book, How to Interview Like a Pro, 43 Rules for Getting Your Next Job. And I've taken some of the rules out, condensed some things, very much applied it to how to be people smart in looking for a job or looking for a ministry position or just in general how to present yourself when you're being interviewed. The first thing, and this is a very important principle when you're looking for a job or a ministry position, is consider this a major effort. And this is going to take time. This is the time to get up early, get dressed in office clothes, start looking for a job, even while you're preparing. Get that culture of you're looking, you're getting ready, you're going to be your best. Your computer is probably going to be your steady companion. Check certain websites on a regular basis. Submit resumes. For ministry, a lot of times in a local area, they'll have a ministry opportunity posting board. Let your name be known. However, you will not be getting the job sitting at your computer. You'll have to get out and get out and about as well. Make contacts daily. Make luncheon plans with people who can help you. If you know, for instance, that there's a pastor's gathering in the area and it's open for others to come or pastoral candidates, talk to your mentor about any positions in the church where your mentor is at. Ask if your mentor knows of anybody who is hiring pastors. Maybe there's a bivocational opportunity that might be something that could go into a paid opportunity. Maybe you're not interested in a paid opportunity. You're a bivocational leader. But in order to have opportunities, it still requires being interviewed, getting talked to, getting questions asked to you. Now, once you understand that this is a commitment of time, Mary says, prepare your elevator speech. Now, what's an elevator speech? An elevator speech is a short speech that you could give an elevator ride that tells in 30 seconds or less who you are. I'm Henry Reinga, president of Christian Leaders Institute. What you offer? We offer high-quality, free ministry training worldwide. And what you can bring to the job? My work is to do whatever I can to gather resources, to put together some classes, to encourage students and graduates to get their high-quality ministry training. You should give just enough information so that you can finish your speech by the time the elevator door opens. You should leave that person in the elevator wanting you to ask some questions. If that person gets back into the elevator, you will know that you made an impression. So, if you're looking for a position, what's your elevator speech going to be? What's it going to include? What's going to pique someone's interest? Next, you're going to write down on a piece of paper, who do you know? Think of all the people you know and write down their addresses, including email addresses, telephone numbers. Get out your Rolodex, some people still have them, your cell phone contacts, your stack of business cards, your email list, and to make your list complete, Think of all your childhood, high school, college friends. They don't have to be your peers or the same age. Friends, parents can be very valuable because they already have jobs or they have contacts in ministry for you. You may even be in the position, they may even be in the position to hire you themselves. So, who do you know? As you start looking for what God has for you, whether it's a job, a ministry position, who do you know? Think of the people in your church, at your jazzercise class, at your hair salon. You're getting the idea. As you write their names down, think of where they work now, where they have worked in the past. Don't forget all your relatives. So that's what I do. I mean, even in trying to get interviews of major donors, churches, individual donors to support Christian Leaders Institute, it's like I have to do job interviews constantly. And I understand it starts with who I know. And in fact, I'm always thinking about who I know, who I don't know yet, who can I meet. And tell everyone. Contact everyone on the list and tell them your elevator speech. Even if your list, even if your contacts do not know any job openings, any opportunities, they may keep you in mind if they hear about something opening up. Call or email them and then follow up with a copy of your resume. Explain what type of position you are seeking and see if any of these contacts know of anyone in the field who might be able to help you. Even if your contact does not know of a position, he or she may be able to give you some advice about working at his or her company or what types of positions might become available at a later time. The point is let everybody know that you are available to help. Use online media. The idea is to keep expanding your network. You can send messages and make comments in discussion groups. It's a good way to make contacts and find out about job openings, opportunities, ministry positions. Let it be known that you are looking for a position and join groups that specialize in looking for a job. While online networking is a useful tool, Mary says, I don't think it will replace networking in person. That will not be replaced. But the online media is still very important. Next, make a great resume. You must write a resume that summarizes your job experience, education, skills, and accomplishments. Someone reading resumes makes a judgment about your resume in a few seconds. You want to make those few seconds count so your future employer will take a second look. Any spelling errors or other quirks will immediately stand out and be possible reasons for rejection even before a potential employer gets to your qualifications for the job. The thing about a resume, you don't want something small to become a big deal even before you had the opportunity to talk with someone. Make a great cover letter. A cover letter is a good opportunity for you to go beyond your resume and highlight the specific experience you have that correlates with the requirements of the position. A well-written cover letter makes your qualifications stand out. I like to go over each requirement of the job listing and spell out the experience I have in that area. I also try to explain in my cover letter why I am uniquely qualified for this position and why I think I am the best candidate. Mary Greenwood writes that this cover letter is really your opportunity to highlight your passion connecting to your qualification for this position. In a ministry position, for example, let's say there's a youth ministry position open somewhere, whether it's volunteer or whether it's for pay. And so you look at the job description, you put a resume together, and in the resume you'll have your Christian Leaders Institute training listed in there. So then you'll look at their job description, look at your experience, and in the cover letter you'll say, you know, I volunteered as a youth leader so-and-so here at this church. In my training at Christian Leaders Institute, I always took interest in the issues that young people had in coming to the faith. You see, you can do some of that in a cover letter, pulling together what you're learning here at Christian Leaders Institute and your resume. In a lot of ways, when you're looking, just be in interview mode all the time. When you're looking for a job, a position, a volunteer slot in a church, remember that you have to be in interview mode all the time. First impressions are very important. For example, when you pick up an application or check out a church and get an application or get a job description, you need to look professional. That secretary or assistant of the church, even when you come to this church and pick up that application or make a connection, is going to look at you right away. Not as though you just got out of bed. Don't look like you're disheveled. An employer told me about an applicant who wore bedroom slippers and short shorts while picking up an application. Often the person you get the application from is the same person who will interview you or set that interview up for you. Be flexible. You have to be flexible. For example, you should be willing to meet for an interview at a non-traditional location. If an interviewer wants to meet you at a Chamber of Commerce meeting or a marketing firm invites you to go to a presentation to a client, you should go. In church settings, sometimes these non-traditional, flexible places are maybe at an elder's office. A key leader in the church has a nice conference room, so it may not even happen at the church, and you'll use that conference room of maybe one of the leaders of the church. Try to find out how many are being interviewed. Now, this may not always work out that way. If I'm offered an interview, I always ask how many candidates are being interviewed. I like to know my odds, and that's how she puts it. If I'm one of three or four, I know I have a better chance of getting the job if 10 applicants are being interviewed. Sometimes the employer is taken aback by the question, but usually the employer will tell me, if he or she won't tell me, I assume it's a high number. So go ahead and ask, just converse, not in an offensive way. Be prepared. Google everyone and everything about this church, this company you might be looking at. First of all, this will let you find out who is interviewing you. It also gives me an idea of the roles of the interviewers. See what you can find out on the internet about the people who will be interviewing you. If you know a pastor is going to be interviewing you, listen to some of that pastor's messages. Understand how that pastor comes across. See if you can find out their credentials or how long they've been at this company or church. Be prepared. Go to their website and study it. This is like doing that Google study on people that are connected to the process. But go to the website. If it's a church, really read the entire website from the first to the last, every page. Try to really get involved with the culture of that local church. Check the employer's own website for information. I have been surprised, Mary says, as to what I've been able to find. In one interview, I pulled out some organization charts when asked a question. The panel was very impressed and asked me where I got them. They were surprised when I told them it was on their website. I also found reports. You will be surprised what is on church websites, building plans, future vision, all of those things that will give you an opportunity to shine at an interview are often found on the church's website. Learn the buzzword. It's important to know the vocabulary, jargon, or buzzword or words of the business for which you are applying. Attorneys speak a different language than accountants or engineers. For example, a lot of attorneys like to use Latin phrases like caveat, emptor, let buyer beware, or quid pro quo, this for that. If You are new to your field. You need to learn these terms and buzzwords so that you understand them and can use them. The buzzwords in church are sometimes they're very local. You know, a church could be celebrating Christ's victory and reaching the lost. So these are words that you want to maybe bring up. You know, I like your vision of celebrating Christ's victory and reaching the lost. There might be other buzzwords, but I promise you this, you will find a local church's buzzword or buzzwords at the local church's website. If not, ask some of the people that maybe referred this church to you. Or go to the church a few weeks. That's one thing. You can attend a church if you have that opportunity, and you can find out what the buzzwords at that church actually are. In the interview, be on time. The worst thing you can do in an interview is to be late. If you are late to the interview when you are trying to impress your prospective bosses, then you will probably be late to work at your prospective job. Being late is disrespectful. Even if you have an excuse for being late, flat tire, late train, lost cab, really, there are really no good excuses. To be late is not acceptable. Be sure you know the location. This goes along with the rule above. You need to know where you are going, both literally and figuratively. Make sure that you have the address and the telephone number of the person you are meeting, just in case you need last-minute instructions. Plug the address into, if you're in America or Europe, in places where there is GPS on your phones, or your car, put it in your phone or car. Print out a MapQuest from the internet. Sometimes the GPS or MapQuest is wrong, so it's good to have the address and telephone number. Do not rely on someone else to find the address for you, especially the taxi driver. How many times when there are ministry appointments over the years when I was interviewing someone did I know that someone couldn't find the church, even though it was obvious to me and to everyone, I thought the church was easy to find, and yet somebody could still not find it. Dress appropriately. A nice suit with a tie that is not too distracting or too wide is always a good choice for a man. For a woman, it can be more problematic. Try to wear an outfit that you think would fit into the work environment of your prospective company. You might even want to check the company's website to see what our other employees are dressed like. Look at the picture of your prospective boss to see what he or she is wearing. You know, this is a real touchy area, and because each church has different sort of standards and how they think about dress. Some churches nowadays are very relaxed, and other churches still are formal. Now, here's a good rule of thumb. Dress one step above, so to speak, where you think the company or church that you're interviewing is at. I would always say for a guy, just come in a really nice business casual outfit, a tie. You're not usually going to get docked down if you're dressing nice with a tie. They might say to you, oh, you can take your tie off and let you relax your outfit. For a woman, just stay away from anything that's suggestive or anything that gives any feeling of immodesty. These are very important things, and somebody can just take you off the list by how you dress. Give an appropriate handshake. You'll have just in this handshake, you're going to have just enough oomph. A limp handshake is just wishy-washy and won't get a job. A firm but not too firm handshake is just right. Don't be a bone crusher or be too rough with the other person. I have had people shake my hands who I really believed were trying to hurt me or prove that they were stronger than I was. If you are someone who does not like to shake hands, try it anyway. The fact of the matter is that opening handshake, especially in America and some Western countries, is very important. Now, if you're in another part of the world and a handshake is not the appropriate way to greet someone, you know what is appropriate and seek to find the best practice of that greeting. Use appropriate humor. Try to get to know the interviewer, interviewers, and bond with them. Cracking a joke can sometimes break the tension. Just make sure it's appropriate. Your future employer does not want to hear a joke that has a double entree and is insulting to one of the people interviewing you. You have to find that right balance. Try to show your personality, but don't be too outgoing. On the other hand, don't be boring and mumble in a monotone. Now, over the years, as I've interviewed people, anytime I meet someone who mumbles or they're at an interview and they're mumbling, that is an immediate red flag that I've noticed in the interviewing panel. So you want to use appropriate humor. Now, maybe you say to yourself, I'm just not that funny. Well, be careful about that. Don't try to force it. But on the other hand, don't just be there and drain the energy out of the room. Maybe you want to, you know, read a book about humor and think about that and try it out and practice it in the home. Even if you try to use humor, it is not perfect. The fact that you attempt it, even when you're nervous, is often a positive if it is not over the top and not offensive or sarcastic. You know, and as we finish this part one, maybe you're saying to yourself, wow, look at all of the things that go into interviewing for a job or a ministry position. Really, many of these things are just reiterations. They're taking the next step of all the people smart principles that we have been learning up to this point. And be encouraged. Maybe look at these presentations a few more times if you're actually in a job search so you really internalize these various principles and encouragements in PeopleSmart looking for a job or ministry position.